We have come to chapter 8 in 1 Corinthians, which is a wonderful chapter, and chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, have all to do about giving. And so right away I got nervous. I'm thinking, man, I got to teach on giving tonight. Oh no. And so, you know, it's neat though, because God has shown me through the years, I was reacting for many years to the giving situation because of the abuses in the body of Christ where people beg for money. And I was so glad to hear Austin talking tonight about how he didn't ask for any money, he just asked God, you know. And that's kind of the way I've felt through the years too. But the Lord has shown me things about giving that are such a blessing for us that he gives me now peace to be able to go ahead and just share what the Apostle Paul says and to take it to heart. And I'll use a lot of personal testimonies tonight of what God taught Sherry and I in North Carolina, where we didn't have, it was a very small income we had. I was teaching at a church for $25 a week. I had four little boys, and how he took care of us for a whole year and just showing us many things about giving to him and being close to him that way. So I'll be drawing from that history a lot on the things that God has taught us. I'd like to start with you in the subject of the blessing of giving. And we want to go to Philippians chapter 4 on this and verse 16. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16, and then go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and begin. So it says here in Philippians 4:16, the Apostle Paul had been receiving money from Philippi, a church. It's Philippi, the Philippians are the people that went to that church. And he is now thanking them for that. And he talks here and says, "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." The necessities that Paul had financially were ministered to him through those in Philippi, and they sent to him once and again to his necessity while he was in Thessalonica. Now in verse 17 he says this, which is very interesting about our subject of blessing, the blessing of giving. It says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." This is a huge blessing from God. Just think if you lived during the time of the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote most of the books in the New Testament, how if you gave money to him to help him to do this, that you would be actually joining in to the fruit of what would come from his ministry. And like we said just a minute ago, wrote most of the New Testament. So many of these people in Philippi that had sent to his necessity actually were joining in the fruit. There's a scripture in the Old Testament where there were 600 men that David had, and only 400 of them were able to finish the task of going after the Amalekites. And two of them stayed behind because they were so tired and just beat to death from, I shouldn't say to death because they didn't die, but they stayed by the baggage and the things that belonged to the men that were stronger and went on and fought the battle and won the battle. And when they came back with the loot that they got and the recovery of things, the men that stayed behind are there waiting for them. And some of the coarser men said, "Let's not give anything to the 200 that stayed behind because they didn't go to the fight." And the Apostle Paul says, "No, we are going to share the loot equally, because those that stayed by the baggage share equally with those that went to the battle." And that's the way God sees it. So as we give funds to those that are on the front lines for Jesus, we are sharing, we are dividing the fruit. And so the Apostle Paul says, It's not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, fruit that may abound to your account from giving to him. And then it goes on to say, but I have all and abound. He talks about how he's trusting God for everything, like Austin shared with us in his testimony. He was trusting the Lord for his care. And so the Apostle Paul is in a way saying that, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And that's the way God sees our giving, a sacrifice that's like a beautiful odor to him that was before the Lord. And then it says in verse 19 something very important. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. A giving Christian will never, ever suffer need. Oh, no. No. God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Because you see, Sherry and I learned, and I think many of you also, you never can outgive God. You just can't do it. You can try, but you won't be able to do it because he shuffles money around, like my brother said. I love that. It was great. That's just the way he is. Sherry and I began to learn this early in our marriage. We had $1,000 left over from monies that were given to us for school when we got married. And my mother needed car work real bad, $400 worth. And Sherry and I felt led by the Lord to help her out. And so we gave her the $400 she needed. And 3 weeks later, we inherited $4,000. And we knew then, we saw something from God's hand. God's saying, okay, you're giving up four. I'm going to give you 10 times that back, and you're never going to outgive me. And I'm going, Lord, I like you. And I began to see the blessing of giving. Should I hide that from you? Should I never teach on giving and hide this fact from you? I don't think so. I should share this with you. I should share that I believe with all my heart that I can't afford not to tithe. Because God says, if you bring forth a tithe into my house, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you, there won't be room enough to even contain it. And so that's what I tell the people that are suffering financially that come and say, you know, I'm having troubles with my money. And my first question is, are you tithing? And, you know, if they say no, then I'll say, well, man, I'm telling you, it worked for me. You know, you just got to start doing that. And God will open up the windows of heaven because he says, prove me therewith. I want you to test me. He says, I want you to test me. Now, I test you. You go through tests from me, don't you? Yes. Well, I want you to test me. And I want you to begin to tithe whatever you get in. And he said, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you can't even contain it. Well, this happened to us in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina, Sherry and I, in such a dramatic way. Of course, we were in training for the ministry, so he needed to do these things with us. I had decided that we couldn't afford to tithe. And I just said, Lord, you know, we just can't really afford to go on with tithing right now. We're just barely making these little boys get bread and so forth. And so it got real bad. It went from bad to worse. And finally, in 20-degree weather, they came and turned off our electricity. And our house was total electric that we were renting. And so we had no heat. And we had all these little boys. And I'll never forget the face of my youngest son, Jeremiah. He was 2 years old then. And he was looking up from his blankets. He had 5 blankets on him. We kept putting blankets on him. But he said, Daddy, I need another blankie. He was just so cold. And I thought, man, what is going on? And we went to church that week. It was a Baptist church with a screaming Baptist preacher that had sweat on his face and used a handkerchief to, after he had preached, and he said, "You're robbing God. You are robbing God if you're not tithing." And I'm going, whoa. And I started to slip behind the guy, and I didn't want to look at his face, you know, because I knew God was speaking to me. Well, you know, we went on with that sermon. You know, he said, "You bring the tithe into my house and prove me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven." And that very night, I took $7, because we had $70 all together, and I separated it in my wallet, and I said, "This is my tithe, and whenever I get money from now on, if it's birthday money, if it's money given to me by my dad, if somebody dies and gives me an inheritance, the first 10% goes to God." And I made that commitment in my heart. And do you know, from that night, God began to move in such a way. And there's a long story involved, but the end of it was that I overpaid the electric company. And he said, "I will pour out a blessing so big that there won't be room enough to contain it." And they actually sent me a check to repay me for the money, because so much money came in, I just started throwing at the electric company, "Just turn our electric on so I can have some heat for my little boy." And they did, and it was a blessing, but God did a miracle. And you know what? Not all that money came where we even knew where it came from. Somebody from Canada mailed us a check in a mail. I didn't know anybody. I've never known anybody from Canada. I have no idea who that was. But somehow we got a check from Canada in the mail. And God showed his mighty arm and his strong strength of taking care of me. So that's where I am with giving. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Psalms that he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And if he was hungry, he said, "I wouldn't tell you, because I own me a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's so rich. I remember being on the phone one time with somebody early in our marriage, and they were telling me, "You know, you need to invest, because you don't have a family that can support you and stuff." And I said, "I've got the richest father in the entire planet, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to take real good care of me." And I remember saying that with conviction. And it is the beautiful thing about the Lord. So the blessing of giving, these things are true. Now, I want to go then now with you to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 through 15. Because in 2 Corinthians, the blessing of giving is talked about further. And it talks about attitudes as well. And it's really good to see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 through 15. Now it says here, I'm in 1 Corinthians, got to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verse 6. "But this I say, he which sows sparingly," that is in the giving area, if you sow sparingly, you just give a little. You know, I remember seeing an old Dennis the Menace on TV, and he was shaking hands with the pastor, his dad, on the way out of the church, And the dad was saying to the pastor, "That was a great sermon." And Dennis the Menace said, "Well, Dad, how come you only put a quarter in the plate, you know?" "He who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That, in other words, you just can't outgive the Lord, as I shared earlier. You can't. And God begins to open the windows of heaven. And I love that verse where it says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down and shaken together and overflowing shall men give to you." It's just God's truth. It's the way God works. And there is a tremendous blessing in giving. "Every man," now verse 7, this is really important for us, "every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. You don't give out of a heart that's going, darn, I have to do this. No. It says here that God loves a cheerful giver, or as Pastor Chuck always put it, a hilarious giver. It's just, you're blessed to give. You're just blessed to do it. And that is what God loves. And it's a real move of faith because you're blessed to do it. Because you know God will provide for you. He'll meet every need in your life as you just are a open-handed giver. It's like my wife always says to me, we have to serve God with an open hand. An open hand. There is he that withholds and it leads to poverty, but there's he that gives. That gives and pours out in liberality to the Lord and is just so blessed. And there it is. Now let's go on. It says, now God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Now this is the same thing we saw in Philippians. You will have all sufficiency in all things. You may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that is dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. These verses just pound into your heart, don't they? Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So many people begin to thank God if you're liberal with them in your giving. Oh, how they are so blessed. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is an abundant also for many thanksgivings unto God, while by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceedingly grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. Blessing people, loving people, sharing your funds with the poor and with the needy and with anything that has to do with God's work is a huge privilege. And that's why people are hilarious to do it. Is, you know, I had this situation a few weeks ago. I shared with the congregation that we needed some funds, and it was kind of a off-the-cuff deal, but it was a hilarity type thing. It was a blessed thing. As I said, you know, you need to put loads of money in the box today. You know, I said it that way, and I was talking to a sister after church, and she said something about going to the office to find something, and we're on our way, and she said, but wait a minute, I have to put loads of money in the box first. And I just thought, wow, Lord, you know, she's just hilarious about it, just wanted to help because the rent was due and we needed the money and stuff, and just, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful the way God moves on people's hearts. And so the blessing of giving is what we've just shared with you from those verses, and what a blessing. Well, let's go back now to chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. This is where all of the teaching of this giving situation begins, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Now it says, moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now Paul is in northern Greece, in Macedonia, and he's writing a letter to the church at Corinth, which is in southern Greece, in Achaia. Those are two territories, if you might see that way, Macedonia and Achaia. And he's writing to southern Greece. And he starts talking about the church in Macedonia. Now Paul was on a mission, along with Titus and another brother, and other brothers, actually, I should say, to collect money for the poor saints in Jerusalem. There was a famine, there was a drought, and there was a famine. And so these people needed money real bad. And Paul is now talking about the administration of collecting money in Macedonia in northern Greece. And so he's talking about the churches up there. And he says in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, these people were really afflicted and persecuted for their faith. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. There was great joy even though they were afflicted for the Lord. They were rejoicing in persecution, but they were in deep poverty. But in this deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They began to give more than they even had to give because they loved the Lord so much and so filled with His joy. They were hilarious givers to God for this situation of the poor saints in Jerusalem. For to their power I bear record, yes, and beyond their power. Just beyond their power, Paul actually got to the point where he asked them, please don't give this money. And that's in the next verse. It says, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. And so they were begging Paul, and they were saying, please, please receive this gift. I know we can't afford it. I know that we're going beyond our power, because Paul saw it. And he said, you're going beyond what you're able here. But they're going, oh no, those guys really need money and we want to do this. It reminds me of the time when we were in Haiti. Sherry and I visited Haiti with Marvin on a mission trip a long time ago. And anyway, Marcel owns his church. I mean, their church owns their church in Haiti. And even though they're so poor, they're just dirt cheap poor over there. You all know about the earthquake and all the poverty in Haiti. And Pastor Marcel was shocked to find out that we don't own our building. And so he says, oh, Pastor Mark, we have to buy you a building. We own our building. You need to own your building. And so I'm going to take a collection for you today. And, you know, I just started doing what the Apostle Paul did here. You know, I started telling Marcel, you don't have to take a collection for us. We're so rich up there in Orange County. It's just amazing how rich we are in Orange County. I don't want you to take a collection for us. And but he kept insisting and insisting. And I don't remember if he really took it, but I might have talked him out of it. But the thing is, that was the spirit that those guys had there in Haiti, what we're reading here about Macedonia. And so it says, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. We want to join the ministering to the saints. This they did, not as we hoped. And that word hoped in the King James really means they gave more than we had hoped for. To ask them to share in the ministry to the saints. They gave more. But first gave they their own selves to the Lord. And that's the secret, isn't it? You know, if I give myself to Jesus wholly, he's got my money. I don't care, you know. I remember when we were first saved, I was just a lunatic when we were first saved. And we got $30 extra in the money. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do with this $30? I don't need it. I mean, was that crazy? But it's the kind of thing, I'm just sharing where we were. I mean, it's just the way we felt because, you know, God has all the money He needs. And He loves a hilarious giver. And I always want to be a hilarious giver. Always do. And God help me with that. God help you with that. And so that's why I really don't preach on it much, because I don't want to be beating people for money. No way. God really doesn't want it if someone is going to grudgingly give it. Go over to In-N-Out and enjoy yourself rather than get money. You know, that kind of thing, if you feel that way. But He wants to minister with you. He wants to join with you. He wants you to catch a vision for what He wants to do. And He wants then to share the blessing with you as you are trusting him and proving him. And it goes on to say, insomuch that we desired Titus. Now, that's Titus now was working with Paul to collect the funds because he caught the vision. He caught the vision that they needed to get the money for the saints in Jerusalem. There it is. Now, let's take a look at Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Luke 21 and verses 1 through 4. And it actually says here about the widow. This is the heart of God. And we'll end here today. Tonight we'll pick up with this subject next week again. But anyway, there in Luke chapter 21, the first four verses, we see how Jesus feels about the giving part. And it has to do with this verse we just read. But first they gave themselves to the Lord. And then they gave more than they really could, even to the saints, because of how they were dedicated to Jesus. Now it says, now in verse 21 of Luke, it says, he looked up, that is Jesus, and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in two mites. Now two mites actually equal the lowest form of coin they made in those days. So many men will say that two mites equals one penny because of that idea, that form of monetary giving was the lowest thing they had. So others see it other ways, but this was very little money that she cast into the plate. Where these rich men were casting in great gifts to the treasury, and Jesus was just standing there watching. And he said this, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury or her poverty has cast in all the living that she had. She put more in, even though it was so little money, because God was seeing her heart, and God was seeing the joyful giving that was there. And God is blessed with that. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. As God says, prove me therewith, he's saying, prove the love that's between us and show your faith and your love towards me. And just put it all in, man. Just, are you all in? Are you all out? And man, she was all in. And Jesus just loved that. And it's a really beautiful, beautiful thing to see here. Remember, Pastor Chuck used to tell a story, I'll just end with this, of this one woman in church, and this really rich guy in church was watching her because she was a missionary type woman. She would go to here and go to there and just trust the Lord for funds and so forth. And he said, he came to her and gave her a credit card and said, whenever you need anything, you use my credit card. And she gave it back to him and said, I've been trusting Jesus my whole life, and I'm not going to be trusting your credit card now. And she refused it. You know, that's what we see here with this widow, and it's beautiful, isn't it? And, you know, it's something that I don't think can really teach adequately. This beautiful relationship that develops between a true believer in Jesus Christ, and it just becomes an outflow. The money situation just becomes an outflow of that relationship, and you're just giving to the Lord because you really want to, and you want to see him do what he wants to do, and you want to bless people around you, and you're so blessed with them in rejoicing with them. So we just read those scriptures about they were praying and for the believers and just entering in prayers and thanksgiving for the answer to prayer for certain ones that are blessed that way. So we'll continue next week with other aspects of this, but let's go ahead and pray. So Father, again, we thank you for our brother Austin. He is a wonderful man, and we know that none is good but you, but it's because you fill him up and you've taken him up and you've, Lord, been transporting him by your Spirit into places and Hastings and so forth, Lord. And it's just an amazing, amazing story. And Father, we thank you for this widow that we just read about that just was willing to give her life to you, Lord. Turn it all over to you, Lord. And Father, we want to get there in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we know that you care about our needs. And Lord, you provide our needs every single day. You daily load us with benefits because of your great love for us. And Lord, we thank you for that, Lord God. And so we pray that we would understand this whole thing of giving more fully as we study these two chapters, Lord. And Father, that you would just continue to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, Lord. And we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. May the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you in all that you do and help you with the joys of your giving. God just bless you in all of it. And may the Lord just cause his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.